Welcome back to What the Fintech, your Fintech Feel Good show. What the Fintech is a news and information platform covering the latest fintech development in Hong Kong, Singapore, China, and Asia. We are starting a new season right now, so join us every week for an engaging conversation with various Asian tech figures to discuss about entrepreneurships, emerging technology, customer engagement, and partnerships, and maybe like today about the theme, about the geography of Hong Kong, and what is happening for the banking regulators. Before starting this interview, I just want to remind everyone that it would be great if you can share your question in the comment sections, but also like and share this episode. And today, I have two friends with me, Ankit and Jessica from Plento. How are you, both of you, today?
Hi, Mehdi. Yep, we're great. How are you?
Welcome back, Jessica.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having us.
How are you, Ankit?
I'm great. This is I'm really looking forward to talking to you today. It's a great podcast.
Thank you very much for saying that. Jessica, people heard your voice already like almost 40 episodes ago.
Yeah,
when we started this podcast on a voice audio format and also the video on the studio. Maybe you can introduce quickly yourself and then Kit, because people didn't see you 40 episodes ago. Maybe you can also like explain who you are and what you have done before a bit more in details.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. Hi again. And thank you again, Mehdi, for having us. So I'm Jessica. So I'm one of the founding members at Plento. And I basically look after the business development alongside Ankit as well for both our B2B solutions. And very excited to be joining you again today.
Hi, everyone. Very excited to be here. I'm Ankit. I'm one of the founders at Plento, and been working very closely with Jessica in the last 3 years, just really, figuring out how Plento can actually grow in the B2B space, and really looking forward to talking to you all about it today.
Thank you. On the last episode, I just give a quick overview of Plento. We spoke about like mostly the B2C platforms. There is an application that everyone can download on iOS and platforms where you can consolidate your financials, so banks, credit cards, MPF, and other product, and see how you spend your money and track your financial life. Is it correct?
Yep.
I'm not making 100%. Any mistakes here.
Nope.
And we spoke also about the B2B, but for this specific episode today, we want to speak about more what is happening on the HKMA side and how a company like Plento can help banks to collaborate more and efficiently through open API and new initiative like IDSS. IDS. Okay, thank you. So maybe can you explain what is IDS and how a company like Plento can come to play as a third party here on the industry and bring the agenda of the HKMA on track?
Yeah. So I can start off by maybe sharing a little bit about Plento first. So we are a company that is focusing on enabling banks and fintechs out there to understand what they can do with open banking. And essentially, given the experience that we have had in the market, where we have actually worked with real customers, we have had real access to data in the open banking kind of like data schema. We understand, what the value of open banking is. And for places like Hong Kong, which are just about to launch open banking, which we all call IADS, banks are now coming to us and asking, well, if we actually get access to other banks' data, what can we do with it? And that's really where Plento is working with them to enabling them a little bit more.
And to just follow up a bit on that, IDS is related to open banking. And what open banking really is it allows customers to grant third-party financial institutions, it could be also other fintechs players, consent to have access to their financial data. And this is through a secure API. So in some cases, in different markets where open banking are not in place, they are done through, let's say, web scraping. But what open banking is trying to promote is the idea of sharing data securely. And in Hong Kong's case, open banking comes in very different forms for different markets. And in Hong Kong's case, you have the HKMA launching IADS, which they announced back in August 2023. And this form of open banking is really called IADS, which is interbank data sharing. So this is just a data sharing between banks.
And how do you see an initiative like this one coming into the market and helping banks to go to the next stage of open API? Because we saw like open API in Europe, this one of the examples with UK, also Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong. For Hong Kong at this moment, we don't see so much a company like yours, for example, helping to provide those solutions. So what is the mission of Planto here, and how do you see like the impact on this agenda here?
So given that IADS in Hong Kong is essentially a data sharing kind of ecosystem between banks, the focus of Planto here is to enable banks with, you know, getting benefit from this particular policy, right? There are three key sort of core outcomes that we are looking to achieve. The first one is around, you know, helping consumers and businesses out there with sort of improved, you know, financial decision making. And we can go into details of this from both retail as well as from a SME banking perspective. Yeah, but sort of at a very high level, there's three key outcomes. The first one is around improving financial decision making. The second one is around improving access to lending and improving that whole experience for the end customers. And lastly, it's around easing the financial operations that, you know, either customers, you know, whether that's individual or businesses are going through. So let's go into a little bit, you know, into how this, you know, how it sort of each of the, how these sort of relate to retail or SME banks out there. Maybe Jessica, you can start off with the SME first.
Yeah, sure. So if we look at SMEs in general, let's take open banking aside. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how they're being served right now. And compared to, let's say, corporates or retails, they're actually heavily underserved, especially MSMEs. Now, this is where, you know, DBS strength is. You guys serve MSMEs and SMEs very well. But unfortunately, in general, in Hong Kong, that's really not the case. When it comes down to digital experiences, you look at retail side, there's RAO, there is a full digital onboarding process of identity verification, and there's a whole like suite of digital services for customers, which are in the retail segment. In corporates, they're very well serviced because they have relationship managers because they're huge. But MSMEs and SMEs, they're really kind of being ignored. And we're seeing that a lot of banks are looking into this opportunity to capture this market. And open banking gives them a lot of opportunities here because you'll have data to provide more information around SMEs' financial profile, which makes lending a lot easier. We've seen open banking could potentially help generate credit insights from a matter of hours or even days to just a few seconds. And then you also have the digital experiences where we've seen more than 45% of SMEs actually feel that, you know, banks don't serve them well. They don't support them when it comes down to, let's say, auditing support or kind of financial insight support. And this is where, you know, open banking can really help them get that idea through BFM as well.
Yeah, but I just want to supplement a couple of things about SME as well. I think when it comes to SME banking, I think open banking can be a big game changer because unlike large corporates who actually have a lot of assets and banks could lend based on those assets, SMEs, like when we think about companies like Planto, for example, we don't have a lot of assets. We have people, we have computers, but we don't have a lot of assets. So the whole traditional collateral-based lending just doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. What open banking is giving banks is that real-time access to data such that the traditional form of collateral-based lending can now move towards that sort of whole cash flow-based lending. This can open up a whole new market segment. And that's really the exciting part, you know, opportunity that we have seen with SMEs globally. And that's also the reason why I think when we look at open banking use cases globally, actually majority of them have been SME-based. And actually in the UK, for example, more than 16, I think in the last 3 years, most of the adoption, the adoption for SMEs among SMEs is larger than the retail as well, among the digitally enabled customers. So I think that's an evidence of the opportunity that is available here for Hong Kong as well, given that we are actually a global financial center and a big trade center for a lot of companies out there.
Yeah. It's true that we can see a lot of companies. I won't mention all the names, but you have Ocknos, you have Plaid, you have all those companies in Europe who are supporting like SMEs since a long time, and we don't see that happening so much here in Hong Kong, for example, because we don't have yet like that structure of open API shared by all the banks together and helping the SMEs.
Yeah, that's why I think IADS is an exciting new policy that, you know, we we want to tell the world about as well. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to seeing how it all sort of copes out in the next, you know, couple of years.
Before Jessica start to answer for SME, you mentioned also you would like to discuss about the consumer side.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Do you like to start to kicking on the consumer side?
Yeah, sorry.
No worries.
I think from the customer angle, as sort of Jessica mentioned, you know, customers in Hong Kong specifically get access to a lot of banking services. But Hong Kong is also one of the pioneers of things like virtual banks, right? Actually, in a recent panel we had around sort of, you know, some of the big virtual banks and the traditional financial institutions, it was clearly established that actually what virtual banks have done is they have sort of made sure that the rest of the industry has accelerated their, you know, digitization. Now, where I look at this from both a customer perspective as well as from a fintech perspective is that we have all these customers who are getting incredible banking services on their mobile app, but there's also 20 banks here who are providing the exact same services. Mm-hmm. So what's going to be that differentiator? It's going to be that customer experience. It's got to be, how do you innovate, you know, for the end customers? Why is a customer going to be loyal to you, right, going forward? And that's where we see that open banking opportunity comes in, right? So there are plenty of use cases in open banking, which can actually help banks build out these innovative and extremely, aha moment kind of for that customers. And it can range from, you know, engagement functionalities like personal financial management. It can actually automate the way, you know, all these credit card applications work. Like as a customer, I have to provide you payslips as banks. You can actually automate that all using open banking. A lot of banks in Hong Kong use something like income proxy models, but in open banking, you don't need proxies because you can actually get data from other banks to understand what their income looks like. So actually, these are just some of the examples, but the clear theme that I see among the retail banks here is that it can help you build these customer experiences, which can really be the differentiator. And the most important thing is that you have to be fast because a customer isn't going to be sharing data with every bank. Mm-hmm. So if you're not one of the first ones, then you might miss out on this opportunity.
Do you see this as the only key benefits for consumers, or do you see other key benefits for example, for the industry, for the banks, or for a company like yours?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of key. I think everybody, as long as open banking is there and every stakeholder involved really have this mentality that they're working for what is best for the consumer, which equates to what is best for the banks, actually, because it does give banks this pressure of needing to innovate, to think about the customer's perspective. Because what we've seen in traditionally with banks, especially in Hong Kong, is that actually very few banks understand their customers, regardless as whether it's on the retail side or the SME side. Because retail side, obviously, what they're always looking at is how do I sell a product instead of really understanding what do my customers need. On the SME side, not every banker understands what SMEs' needs are. But now with open banking, without virtual banks as well, you know, this competition, it definitely will benefit everybody. And speed is very important in that respect.
Is it the only, I don't know if it's, I call this a challenge or misconceptions that you see on the market right now, or do you see more than this right now as a misconceptions or a challenge?
So I think, If we look at sort of open banking adoption globally, it is evidently clear that it needs to start off with how do you provide that value to customer. I think like we've realized this that, you know, oftentimes that's not what the boardroom discussions are happening, right? So if you just launch a functionality where customers can link their bank accounts, most likely you're going to fail. You need to explain that value proposition to the user. So the biggest challenge that we see to open banking is actually customer adoption. And it starts off by the industry changing the way it actually builds out their digital roadmap, right? Beyond that, we do think that there needs to be a customer education angle that needs to come in. As a customer, especially in a place like Hong Kong, there's a lot of news these days that goes around how fraud or misuse is happening around data. So in an open banking scenario, when you know, you're actually asking a customer to share their, you know, somewhat private data with you as a bank, you need to be pretty articulate in explaining them the purpose of doing so. So I think customer awareness around this whole infrastructure and policy needs to be well done. And I think the industry needs to come together as a whole to sort of explain this to the customer. So customer awareness is one thing that we think, you know, is a challenge that Hong Kong needs to come together and figure out. And last thing, I think it's the cost to the value. Open banking, you know, in some of the conversations that we have had, a lot of people have mentioned, like, it sounds expensive, you know, we have to invest a lot. What is the benefits out there? But I think with every new technology out there, you got to get into an experiment mode, you know, once it's built, to actually figure out that value. So Hong Kong needs to invest in order to bring that value. And given that there is a regulatory push, you know, we need to start thinking more about this from a value creation perspective. So, yeah.
Yeah, just to add on, there is another, I think, misconception that a lot of, let's say, you know, banking executives may have, is that it's just a regulatory exercise. Actually, you know, we've done a lot of reading and research around, like, open banking, and what we've realized is that if it's executed very well, usually banks, and this is especially a case for medium to small sized banks, they're able to get their ROI in around 2 years. Mm-hmm. So they invest in it, they invest in use cases like, let's say, lending or customer acquisition, then they're able to reap the benefits if they really focused on the benefit, the value of creating an open banking ecosystem. So I think that is a really huge misconception that really needs to be out there and explained to a lot of stakeholders involved.
The 2 years ROI is very interesting. I should, like, do a clip of this and send it to all the CEO of the, of the industry right now. So we speak about, like, the macroeconomic, like, the regulatory framework, how the HKMA and the banks are working together, but obviously you are a fintech company. So how do you use the open to provide, you know, innovative solutions to the bank and work with them?
Planto's journey sort of started off, you know, with our consumer banking app, you know, back more than 5 years ago, actually. And back then, you know, when we launched in Hong Kong, enabling customers to link their bank accounts or their credit card accounts, there was no, like, open banking was just starting out in the UK. And in Hong Kong, it was just a topic that had just being started talked about. We were obviously not using open banking infrastructure to, you know, bring that value proposition to the users. But what that experience did was that it gave us access to customers. It gave us access to real data. It gave us, and it really sort of gave us the ability to understand what is the value of open banking, you know, when Hong Kong, you know, decide to do that. And obviously since then, we have been working extremely hard trying to, you know, speak with the ecosystem, whether that's the regulators or whether that's banks out there, other fintechs, to help them understand, you know, how open banking can actually help them in their own sort of operations and customers. So for us, the journey started, like, you know, since we launched our consumer app. And now, you know, with all of that experience, we are now taking that to the rest of the ecosystem and providing value through that.
So also to add on is, you know, because we were able to build an application around that's very similar to what open banking can bring, we were able to learn, like, these minor things that, you know, banks probably don't realize is an issue until they actually start building. So for example, how do you incentivize your users to link their bank accounts? You know, as a fintech company, that's even harder than a bank under open banking ecosystem, because, you know, we're not as reputable, let's say, than the bigger banks in the market. But we were able to do that by being very data driven, by really understanding what makes a company actually link their accounts. What value should you be bringing? Because if you look at PFM or BFM itself, there is a limitless amount of features that can be built under these different suite of services.
Just for clarification, PFM and BFM, it's personal financial management and business financial
management.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. If someone, you know, doesn't know on the
episode. That's a good point.
And what is very different from your company to other in the industry right now, as a fintech provider? I think you're the only one to provide those kind of services.
So actually, I would say, I mean, obviously, globally, there's a lot of different providers. But what really makes us stand out is the fact that we've started off in Hong Kong. We've built products in Hong Kong. We understand the Hong Kong customers. And based on that experience, we're applying these philosophies or these principles that we've developed to offer our solutions to other financial institutions as well. And under open banking, obviously, we're talking about data, right? And when you're talking about aggregate data, usually the type of data you get is very bank specific in terms of the structure. And in the past 4 to 5 years, we've been able to understand what kind of different data structures come from different banks and essentially built an ML model around this, which means that banks can easily apply these models with high accuracy, high precision, because it's already been trained in the market.
Yeah, and actually, globally, if you look at many of the biggest open banking players in like jurisdictions like UK or the US, like companies like Plaid or Tink started out as a consumer-facing company first. Planto has gone through a very similar journey, actually. So being a customer-first company gives you that time in the market to experience what that entails for the end customer, some of the nuances around open banking that we have also discussed. And you know, it's been proven that actually, you know, these are the companies who actually provide the most value to, you know, financial institutions, who actually serve so many more customers.
Can you share with us some success stories that you have seen or developed with Planto and the industry here?
Yeah, so actually in the last, so we've been sort of working with various banks over the last sort of 2.5 to 3 years. And this is a pretty short time for actually any kind of like B2B or enterprise company. And we've been particularly focused in Hong Kong and sort of regions around Hong Kong like Taiwan. And even in such a short time, it's been incredible that we have actually worked with more than, I think, 11 banks over various pilots or projects. Some of them are going to actually launch and we'll talk about them later. But we have come to this point around talking about open banking in this podcast because in the last 2.5 years, it's been very clear to us that there's a lot of interest around, you know, what this can do, how this can benefit the banks. And actually, it's a result of, you know, and actually, as a result, we have worked with like more than 11 banks. And the pilots and projects have ranged from sort of various use cases in the lending space, in the digital engagement space, in the customer experience space, in the customer onboarding space. So there's a range of use cases that we have actually done pilots on. And we are excited to see some of them go live later.
You want to supplement on anything, Jessica?
Yeah. So in our case, you know, we've been able to, I think when it comes down to success stories or where we really, really stand out, I would just like to emphasize on the data part as well. I think a lot of banks, when it comes down to discussions, what they really care about is what do I deal with? How do I deal with the raw data I get from different banks? And I've also mentioned previously is one which we've worked with multiple banks in the market on is our data enrichment solution. And this fundamental solution has extended to other use cases. So you have PFM where you can just view how your finances look like is one use case. Another use case that we're seeing is lending as well. And then we also have BFM where even we're exploring ESG applications based on the customer transaction data. So yeah, these are just some of the things that we've been working with different banks on.
Perfect, perfect. I have a kind of troublesome question for you, Raina. What do you think about the data provider who charge, fees for accessing the API?
Yeah, so, I mean, open banking comes in, you know, various different forms for different markets. So some markets, they don't charge at all. Some markets, they are considering charging. And, you know, fundamentally with APIs, in one form or other, banks will need to pay it. Either it's by fintech providers or banks need to pay other banks, which is one of the potential outcomes for some markets.
Like, for example, when we think about sustainability as a use case, right? One of the things that Planto sort of does, as Jessica alluded to, was that we do these webinars with banks where we actually leverage our customer base to actually come up with proprietary insights around, you know, what do customers expect when it comes to helping, you know, from banks when it comes to helping them with a particular problem statement, right? So we go out there, we do real interviews with customers. So obviously, I think climate change is a big topic. Everybody talks about it. Everybody wants to work towards the net zero sort of movement that is happening. So, you know, banks are looking at this as providing sort of carbon footprint solutions. But from a customer perspective, when they go to a bank and say, hey, you know what, like you're providing me my carbon footprint, the next natural question that all the customers would ask is like, well, that's not my full carbon footprint because my spending is in, you know, three other banks out there. I want to understand what my carbon footprint looks like as a whole, right? Can you help me do that? So actually, you know, I think from a customer perspective, it's actually very interesting how a real customer does not know things like open banking or IDS, but actually that's the next natural question they ask us when we start discussing with them about, you know, their problems. So I think open banking is in many ways, is there to sort of help customers with their problems, and the customer adoption is going to be extremely great, you know, as long as we focus on, you know, solving those problems for the customer.
In Hong Kong, as a fintech, we are not sure what the direction is yet, because IIDS, it's still in the process of evolving. But what we truly believe is that in the end of the day, if a market is deciding to launch open banking, what it really needs to focus on or what regulators really need to do is actually push for what is best for the end consumers. And that's really what is important here. Regardless of how it's charged, I think at the end of the day, the banks themselves will also look at the ROI of paying for certain type of open banking use cases. But regulators are still the key players in deciding this outcome.
Perfect. And how do you think that open API solutions can help banks to achieve their KPIs? Because we are at the end of the year and all the banks are talking about KPIs right now, right?
Okay, so as a startup, you know, our core principle has always been to build what customers want and what they truly need, right? And these are measured through KPIs like revenue, how much revenue we can get, what is the engagement, what is the retention, and the general turnaround time for the service we provide. So we apply these same principles when it comes down to developing open banking use cases and solutions for financial institutions as well. So I'll talk a little bit on, you know, the revenue side, but Ankit can then expand on the other parts as well. So, you know, PFM and BFM obviously are kind of a huge revenue opportunity here, especially when it comes down to customer acquisition, because we've seen that in the market general when it comes down to retail customers, over 70% are not really satisfied with their digital banking experiences. And when we look at SMEs, over 45% think there is a lot that can be done for banks to service them. And these can come in the form of BFM, PFM. And if you're fast in the market, you do things well, then naturally it comes down to acquisition. And when it comes down to acquisition, there is that revenue opportunity there as well. And when it comes down to lending, you know, SMEs and MSMEs have always been a huge pain point for banks because banks don't have sufficient data or sufficient documentations around smaller companies. And it's tough for them to actually, you know, decide whether or not they can lend to an SME. And where, you know, the open banking comes in is that it will help kind of increase the revenue here by allowing SME banks to be able to process applications a lot faster, a lot accurately, and obviously process more application at a given time. So these are some of the kind of KPIs when it comes down to revenue that open banking can drive.
Yeah, actually, during COVID, it was really interesting. I was looking at some of these annual reports of some of the biggest banks in Hong Kong, and suddenly digital engagement was a KPI which I had never seen before. It was just incredible. Like, I think what COVID did was it made sort of everyone realize that, you know, we got to use mobile and sort of digital as a real channel to engage customer and sell products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what have the biggest wallets like Ali or, you know, WeChat have proven? That the more you get your customer to the platform, the more likely the customer is going to buy more things from you. That is the essence of being a super app, right? In a place like Hong Kong, right, we often hear digital, you know, banking heads talking about how we got to, you know, go beyond banking, how we got to, you know, bring ecosystem of products together. But it starts off with, is the customer coming back to you often, right? And that's what open banking can really bring in. So I think digital engagement is a key metric that obviously we are looking at it from, we're looking from at least from a retail banking perspective that, that banks are interested in learning more about, especially those who have ambitions of, you know, scaling their digital sales strategy.
And how do you ensure a seamless integration of your services with existing banking platforms?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure like you've spoken to many people about this, especially in the cloud space. You know, when it comes to data, everybody's really protective of data, right? And so as a technology provider for an open banking technology, the way we have designed all of our solutions is that, you know, they can all be deployed in the bank's own premise, right? Data doesn't need to come out of their infrastructure at all. We don't need to see anything as a company at all. It can all be rolled out within the infrastructure. You know, we have various kind of modules built in such that you can pick what you want as opposed to just, you know, taking that whole heavyweight software that some of the large companies provide. With us, you can just take what you want, the modules, whatever, and you know, it can be done in, I think the fastest implementation we have seen is within sort of 2 to 3 months. So, you know, we have on-prem implementations available, and I think that's sort of the go-to for most financial institutions in the market.
Okay, thank you. We spoke a lot about like implementation of OpenAPI and what is happening on the market. But if we want to look at the future and the next 2, 3, 4 years, both of you, are you seeing like any, I don't know, like trends or developments in the open banking landscape right now in Hong Kong?
So, I mean, this is not specifically for Hong Kong, but this is basically where we think this might evolve to in the future as well, as we are seeing in other jurisdictions as well. I think when the focus in the market starts shifting towards how do we leverage, you know, data to actually enable new use cases, then the way we have seen things evolve is, what are the other forms of data that are possible, right, that we can get? So open banking is bringing currently open banking data. So I think the way IADS would work is that it'll allow, you know, banks to receive current account and saving account data from each other. But, you know, we see this evolving to other forms of banking data, maybe investment data. Like in Singapore, I think SG Findex allows banks to view other banks' investment data, even insurers' data as well, so that, you know, you can build use cases around sort of digital financial advice. So I think the way we see this evolving is more kinds of data. It's not just, I think, restricted to the retail banking space, but even in the SME banking, like for example, in India, for open banking, they're not just looking at banking data. They actually even have gotten the tax authority to participate in the framework so that banks can use the tax data of businesses to actually make lending decisions. So we see open banking evolving to more than just banking data as well, and having perhaps other important or sort of relevant data, you know, being part of the whole ecosystem.
Any supplement for you?
No, I think Ankit did a good job.
Perfect. And do you see also like any specific upcoming product release or initiative for the audience to be exciting?
Yep. So actually, Planto was selected by HKMA and the relevant bodies to participate in the FinTech Supervisory Sandbox, so the FSS 3.1. So our solution is currently in pilot, and it's working on helping banks to do credit assessment in a faster, more accurate, and cost-effective way. We're really excited about that because it's producing quite strong results right now, and we're hoping that, you know, we can officially launch it next year. Aside from that, you know, we're also very involved in trying to educate more of the ecosystem in the market around open banking / IDS, where we kind of run different webinars one-on-one with different banks to talk about, you know, what are the current use cases around the world, the challenges, the key learnings, and how banks can work better with fintechs to escalate their open banking initiatives. So we're very excited about this because we're seeing quite a number of interest from different banks, and we're hoping that, you know, it's useful for them that they can really apply it within their organization as well.
Yeah, in addition, we also have some products which are going live with banks. So hopefully we'll see the first live implementation of Plan2 enabling a bank to do sort of open banking led personal financial management. So this is the beginning of a bank using open banking to help customers around insights around their finances, and we see this sort of happening with other banks as well. So more to come on there as well.
Perfect. Congratulations for this.
Sorry, just add on here. One thing that we're super excited about is also around ESG. For us, you know, when we first started, ESG was still at a very early stage. And now, because of, you know, partnerships that we've been making with different fintechs, we're able to offer that to the Hong Kong financial institutions. And we're looking into the personal finance management side next year, and hoping to do something around the business financial side very soon as well.
I don't want to ask like a tricky questions, but do you have like any date or timeline or milestone we need to know about IIDS or open banking? Any coming phase?
So nothing's public yet. All we know is that in August, the HKMA actually announced IIDS. But hopefully we'll be getting more information during FinTech Week.
With next month, right?
Yes.
Like in a couple of weeks, 20 days from now.
Yep.
Okay, I think I share all the questions I had, but do you have like anything you would like to supplement or you would like to share with anyone listening to this podcast?
I have a question for you, Mehdi.
Oh, sure, yeah.
What are your thoughts on open banking?
I'm very excited about it, to be honest with you. I think we are kind of behind schedule, to be honest, compared to other countries. But when I go back to Europe, or even with my French bank account, I can connect all my French bank account on this one and get access to all my financials because it's part of the European framework.
Yeah.
I'm also excited to see a new, you know, company like yours developing new product who can be very interesting in terms of customer engagement, loyalty programs, but also like rewards, the credit cards mm-hmm. that we have. And even for the businesses, because, for example, right now, so What the FinTech also have a company named What the FinTech Limited. Mm-hmm. And I see what are the struggles of like a small company, because I'm just a one-man shop. Mm-hmm. And like when I do like some of the commercial for the company, sometimes it's a bit difficult to connect all the dots through the banking system.
Yeah.
Even if my banking application is great, but I would like to see more how we can, you know, like especially on the loan side, create new credit scoring models, get more of the data, and also as a consumer, how I can share my data with other banks to maybe sometimes get the best offer for loans, for mm-hmm. credit card, or for whatever.
Mm. Thanks a lot for having us, and please don't forget to subscribe to What the FinTech.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you. It was great to have you. Thank you for sharing all this information with about IIDS, about open banking, and what you are doing with the bank and HKMA. It's great, and I wish you success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.